As an entrepreneur, we're always wanting to know where in the journey am I right now? What's my next level? Well, I've put together a free quiz that will tell you exactly that. It's called the Freedom Finder Quiz, and you can find it at freedomfinderquiz.com. It's free, takes less than 3 minutes to complete. I timed it. And at the end, it will tell you exactly where you are in your business freedom journey and what to focus on next to move to that next level of building a business that provides you more money and freedom. So take the quiz today at freedomfinderquiz.com.
I'm going to talk about dumb decisions. Hey, welcome to another episode of Entrepreneurs Rising. I'm your host, Carl Taylor. This is the podcast for you if you've been in business for a while and you're on the journey and you're looking to grow, rise as an entrepreneur. Because I believe that entrepreneurship is the greatest, if possibly the second greatest, personal development journey you can ever go on. If it's the second greatest, it would only be in contrast to a relationship. An intimate relationship is also one of the biggest personal growth journeys you can go on when you are wanting to make things work. Now, that's not what this podcast is about, though. This is about the entrepreneurship journey. And in particular, we focus on business, investing, finance, as well as how do you actually have a balance in business. Now, today, though, I want to talk about dumb decisions. You see, today, at the time of recording, I'm a part of an advisory board of a very large software company, and they have made a decision that I personally think is really dumb, like super dumb. And I've told them so, because that's my job. If I'm on an advisory board, if I was on your advisory board, if I think you've made a dumb decision, I'm going to tell you that. It's ultimately your call what you do with it, but I'm going to make my opinion known. And while I won't go into the details of what decision they've made, what I can share are some of the lessons you can take away and a story from my own life. You see, if you've got a subscription-based business, a recurring revenue-based service business, or a software business, there's really kind of three key things you always really want to try and do. You want to create clarity and reduce confusion and fear at the conversion point, at the sign-up, right? So if they're looking at your plans, you want them to be crystal clear. If you're selling a subscription, you know, there should be clarity as to this is the plan for me. You're trying to reduce any fear of, well, what's going to go wrong and what might happen. So you might have guarantees. You might have all sorts of different strategies that you're trying to increase clarity and reduce confusion and fear. The second thing that you are looking to do is you want to encourage utilization, because with a subscription service, if someone's not utilizing your service or your software, then they're not going to stick around. Now, you might have a really low cost thing, and maybe you have a percentage of clients who will keep paying for a service even though they're not using it. I'm definitely guilty. There are things that I pay for that I do not use. However, in general, utilization is what breeds retention, referrals, all the good things, and ascension, because you don't just want retention, you usually want ascension. And if they're not engaging and utilizing your products and services, then how are they going to want to ascend to a higher level of service or add-ons that you might have? And then the third thing is you're wanting to eliminate frustration points. We've all got them. All of our businesses have, somewhere along the line, there are points in the client experience where they hit a frustration point. And your job as the business owner, as the product designer, and for your team is to always be looking for where are these friction points, these frustration points, and how could we eliminate that frustration point without creating ideally new ones, right? We're looking to eliminate frustration points, not add new ones. Or the ones that we're going to keep in place, we're doing it with a very clear business understanding of why. We're setting a boundary and we know it's a frustration point, but it's our boundary as a business owner or as a business. So there are times that you might have frustration points that you don't eliminate. Automation Agency definitely has some of those. I'm aware of that. But there was a mistake I made very early on in Automation Agency's journey, probably 8.5 years ago, I'd say now, where I had the mentality that we were like a mass market gym. You know, with a gym, typically when it's mass market gym, what they're looking to do is sign up as many people as they can, especially if ideally around January, the New Year's resolution period, and they will then go and probably won't stay. Well, they won't come and use it. but they'll still keep paying for their subscription. They won't cancel it. And those are the most profitable customers that the gym has. Why? Because they're paying the money and they're not actually utilizing the service. It's not creating any wear and tear on the equipment. They're not running into any capacity issues of having too many people in the gym at one time. They don't need more trainers because those people are just paying money and not actually using the service. And so I had a similar mentality for Automation Agency in the early days where I was like, well, and it's true, you know, the clients who sign up to us and don't use us are our most profitable clients in the short term, right? They're paying and they're not utilizing the service. So therefore, we don't need as many team members because we can go, okay, this percentage aren't using us. And so that was the original idea where we didn't have what we now call an active task limit. It was just we knew some people would be using us a lot in 1 month. And then other times they wouldn't. And that still is the case today. There still is this kind of those people who use us consistently every single month, those who use us a lot in one period and then don't use us a lot, then they use us a lot, then they don't use us a lot. So that trend still continues. But we used to not incentivize people to use us. If anything, we had ideas of ways we could probably help people use us, but we were like, well, we don't want them to use us because then we're not making as much money. And I'm not proud to say that that's where my head at, because that's very much a lack and fear-based mentality. It is not the mentality you want to have to build a successful, profitable company. You want to have a more abundance mindset. And when we shift to a more abundance mindset, it meant that we started going, well, how do we actually get people using our service? Because yes, that might cost us more money, but deep down at a soul level, like it feels far more fulfilling to know that we're actually serving and adding value. Like if I truly was like, how do I add the most value to my client? I would be encouraging them to go, hey, you're not using us. You know you're paying for this service. Here's all the things we could be doing for you. And so over the years, we've tried various different ways to do that. Some worked successfully, some didn't. Right now, I think we've got a really good rhythm of how we're able to promote both to prospects and customers ideas of how they could use us by showcasing what other clients are doing, which then generate ideas for them to go, oh, I could do that too. I could do that. And we found that's been quite a successful strategy for us. But the point here is when we did shift from that fear-based mentality of, oh, well, you know, our most profitable clients are the ones who don't use us, to actually how do we incentivize them to use us? While our costs did go up, we did also benefit in three ways. One I've already mentioned, which was more of a fulfillment piece, internal peace, morality. I just felt better knowing that we were actually serving people rather than just kind of taking people's money. But also we found that we have higher lifetime values. Those people either stayed more, or if they didn't stay for a long period of time, they'd upgrade to higher plan levels, or they would pay for add-ons and extras in a short period of time, and then they'd cancel later. So overall, the increased lifetime value on average over a client went up. The second thing is it's resulted in more referrals, because if you're getting good value out of the service, even if you choose to cancel, you might tell all your friends about how great it was, and then you're still on the database. This is the other part where the lifetime value comes in. Someone might cancel, and then a year later, because they're still receiving emails and communication from us, get re-triggered with, because we're prompting them, hey, there's some things we could do. They come back, which further increases the lifetime value. Now, the reason all this comes up is this company that I advise have made a decision that ultimately impacts all three of these key areas. It's increasing, in my view, it's increasing confusion and fear at the sign up. It's disincentivizing utilization, so it will have an impact on retention. And it's creating new frustration points, not eliminating existing frustration points. So therefore, churn is going to go up. People are going to leave and cancel the service. Now, obviously, data will be the proof, but I'm starting the dialogue, seeing if I can help them change their mind. And I'm saying, like, what is the business goal that you actually have? This whole decision you've made, what was the business outcome you were looking to achieve? Because maybe there's a better way we could achieve that outcome without creating all this confusion, fear, disincentive of utilizing the service, and frustration points. And so what I want to leave with you today is if you have a subscription-based business, you have a recurring services model, and you're making decisions to make changes to your service that will impact your users, run it through the filter. You know, is this going to create more clarity or more confusion at the sign-up phase? Is this going to increase or decrease fear? You know, is this going to decrease the fear of signing up and that this is the right, you know, this is the wrong product for them? or is this going to decrease that or increase that? Is this decision going to incentivize more usage of the service to use you more and actually extract more value out of what you do? Or is this actually going to disincentivize them to use you and to lean on you? And then the final question is, does this decision, will this eliminate some existing frustration points the clients have, or is this just going to create new ones? Now, as I was saying at the beginning, there are going to be times that there are certain frustrations you know a client has that you don't want to solve, and that is okay. As long as you're consciously making that decision, knowing that you're creating a frustration point that will probably lead to churn, but you need to have a solid, you know, there are times you need to have solid boundaries around how the business works or what you want to personally put in. For example, if you had a business where the frustration is they want to talk to you, the owner, but you've put a boundary of going, well, I'm not available for those things, that's a frustration point. You're choosing not to solve that frustration point. So we're all going to make our share of dumb decisions. You're never going to avoid dumb decisions. I make plenty of them. I've only shared one example, and it's no one is immune to it. Big companies are probably more likely to have it because they have thousands of staff and more people to make these mistakes. The point is, if you're going to make a core decision, run it through those filters. Don't make dumb decisions. Review it and get an advisory board. Get people who can advise you so that you can run your decisions and see, get other people to poke holes in it. I'm going to leave it there. Until next time, keep up the journey.
You've been listening to Entrepreneurs Rising. Thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. I appreciate your time and look forward to connecting in future episodes. If you would like show notes or any resources from today's episode, you can find them at rising.show. Rising.show. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes, as well as links to socials and the ability to reach out and connect with me, make your suggestions. Suggestions for future episodes. Until next time, keep up the journey.
This episode was brought to you by Automation Agency. If you're sick of Fiverr and Upwork and want a reliable team of experts who can turn your marketing ideas into marketing duns, then head over to automationagency.com and check out what they can do. Whether it's graphic design tasks for social media, your presentations, or tech tasks like building funnels and email automations, or content creation tasks like copywriting and video editing, Automation Agency is the one team you need to help you market your business and free up your time to focus on more important things. So go and check out automationagency.com.